Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates to debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, scams, and multi-level marketing.
Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros, we're back with another Amway episode like promised. I'm really excited for you to meet Steve. He was in Amway 20 years ago, and he has a really interesting perspective that we don't hear about too often. But before we get into the episode, I have some housekeeping updates. So the first is I want to give you guys an update about Pastor Rob. I got so much great reception and so many of you were like, where can I find Pastor Rob? Is he on social media? And he wasn't. I reached out to him and I said, hey, Pastor Rob, is there anywhere that my listeners can find what you've written and the things that you mention? And he said that we inspired him to open up a Substack. So you can find Pastor Rob's Substack in the show notes and you can check out all of his writings and what he's up to now. Secondly, we also got a ton of great response to Emma's episode about Grand Rapids. And after Steve listened to it, he reached out to me and gave me even more information about the little store. And I want to read that text to you right now. Steve says, the Amway store she is referring to is legit because you have to use an IBO number to connect the sales. Amway used to have a personal shopper's catalog in the 1990s. This catalog had very overpriced name brand products like TVs, radios, clothing, etc. If someone returned anything out of the personal shopper, it went into the store. Now that they no longer have the shopper catalog, they have stocked it with Amway products. The reason there are no windows is it is against Amway rules to advertise. Having products in the window would be advertising. There are actually IBOs that have stores in some towns, and the same rules apply. There are ones I know for sure in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and Savannah, Illinois, and customers can pick up stuff there. The argument is the inventory in the stores keeps them qualified for levels. This is very old school. Most of the IBOs who have stores go way back in Amway, probably not affiliated with lines of affiliation. A top IBO who had a store in the 1980s got into Amway in the 1960s. He was a triple diamond, probably because of volume manipulation. So there's another little piece to the puzzle. Thank you, Steve, for that text message and for all of the information that you are about to give us in this episode as well. Before we get into it, I want to say thank you to our newest Patreon members, Kelly Schnipke, Tracy Bezerra, and Jennifer Herring. I'm recording new Hunberta episodes, so look out for those. And we also have some really special guests coming up for the holidays, and there's some AMA questionnaires in the Patreon if you have any burning questions for any of those guests. Other than that, grab a snack and a foofy coffee and enjoy this episode. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. You know what? We have another Amway episode. They're maybe my favorite. I'm not sure. And I also think like the more I learn about Amway, the more I sometimes feel like I'm still so much in the dark about Amway. And so I have today a guest who is going to fill in some of those gaps and maybe answer some of those burning questions we still have about not only like the tools business, but just having an Amway business in general. So I would love to welcome to the show, Steve. How are you doing today, Steve?
I am doing great. Or as we like to say in Amway, I'm getting better every day.
I love it. This is so fun. You reached out to me. You said, I have a lot of information that I think you might be interested in. And we hopped on a call. I can't even tell you. That phone call was so eye-opening. I was like, when can you record for the podcast? Because we're losing a lot of great info. And you're like, oh, I'll bring it. So I'm so thankful that you're here to share your Amway story. Let's start from the beginning. Where you were, how old you were, how you learned about Amway, and like the whole thing. I'll let you take it away.
Well, actually, I think I learned about it. I was like 16. I was working in a grocery store and somebody contacted me thinking I was 18 and I was too young to. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. I want to own my own business. I've always been very ambitious. I wanted to own my own business and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I was in college, I actually got approached by Amway. It looked like it makes some extra money. Didn't do anything with it for years, just had it kind of in the background with the hope that someday I'll do this. And then I got married. So in somewhere around 1988, 89, we were married 3 years, decided, hey, we're going to get serious about this. And then our goal was to make enough money where my wife could quit her job and come home full time. And let's see, my wife got pregnant. My daughter was born in May of 1990, and my wife ended up quitting her job and quote unquote retiring in right the next month. It was her last month. And it was strictly because of our Amway business. We had hit the level, they call it now platinum. And we had a pretty profitable business as platinums. And I was building my business. We were building our business together. And I was out every night showing the program to people, driving miles late at night, building legs. I saw this going where I wanted it to go. And I was excited about the business itself. And I was a tapeaholic. I'm listening to motivational tapes every day. And I'm reading every book you can get your hands on. They told us to read 10 minutes every day before you fall asleep. And I'm driving home late at night. Some of my business I was building was one person would lead to another person, lead to another person. And I was driving 2 and 3 hours after work. And you're getting home at 1 o'clock in the morning, pulling your nose hairs out just to stay awake. It makes you sneeze too when you drive. I was just doing what it took. Whatever it took, I'm building my business and we're gonna make this thing happen. And so she was able to come home. And she actually was home for 22 years full time because of our Amway business.
Wow.
So it was a very profitable thing for us at that point. I was a naive business builder, just excited. It's kind of how it started and where it led. And then by 92, we had gotten 3 legs over, which let me explain what that is. So a lot of the new multi-level businesses that are out there are what we call either a binary plan or I don't know if trinary is a word, but you can figure out what the 3-leg plan is. And so Amway is a with-based model. So what that means is in a binary plan, you can only register 2 frontline. In a with-based model, you sponsor as many as you can. So when I went platinum, I had actually sponsored 14 people. And then down in depth, I had 55 business owners. They call them IBOs today. So I had 69 people in my group. And to be a platinum, they use a word called point value that I know a lot of multi-levels use. So you had to run 7,500 points. So because I was 14 wide, I actually had a pretty profitable business. The more width that you have, the more profitable you are. So to give you an example, you could be a platinum in Amway, and let's say 7,500 is the level you're trying to hit. So say you have 1 leg at 6,000 and 1 leg at 1,500, you still have 7,500. But because you don't have a lot of width or what we call structure, you're only really making in today's business about $800 a month.
Okay.
Whereas if you're a platinum with, say, 6 legs all running 1,500, which means you still get the same amount of volume, you're making about $2,500 a month. So the wider you are, the more profitable you are. What a lot of people don't realize is the average Amway distributor only sponsors like one person. So the odds of people sponsoring even what I did at 14 is very slim.
Right.
So that's important as we tell the story later, because you can actually have a level and be broke at that level. And that's where a lot of words like fake it till you make it, look good, dress up, whatever, play the part. A lot of your downline thinks you're making a lot more than you are because they only understand the rank, the name of the rank. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have a question really quick. Once you hit a rank in Amway, are you that rank forever, even if you don't qualify at it every month? Will you always call yourself a platinum or an emerald or a diamond, even if you don't qualify once you hit it one time?
Yes. Your checkbook doesn't think that.
Right.
But your
downline does.
Yes, your downline absolutely does.
Okay.
And in some cases, I should say some, in a lot of cases, your upline still treats you that way because it creates a facade within the organization that there's all of this success.
Right.
So what I'm looking to do is once I get to 7,500 points, if I'm building the business properly, I'm looking at my business and I'm saying, okay, who are my first 3 people that are going to, now I'm going to help them hit 7,500. So an example as a platinum, if I have 3 2,500 legs, pretty simple. I'm going to help those 3 become platinums. Then when you get 3 of them, you're what's called an emerald. And then when you get 6 of those, you're what's called a diamond. Okay.
Okay.
And then those incomes can be variable based on the amount of depth you have in those organizations. And then in order to qualify for any of those levels, you only have to qualify for 6 months, which means this: to be a platinum, I only have to be 7,500 for 6 months. So I can fall below that for the next 6. I don't have the income, but I still have the pin level, or I still have the rank.
Right. Okay.
So if I'm an emerald and I only have legs in for 6 months, not all 12, I only have the rank. But what people don't understand, you have a very weak business if it's not in 12 months out of 12. Everything should be 12 out of 12 to be solid.
Okay.
So building my business and things are going well and she's home full time. And that's kind of how we got it started and built some great relationships, ended up getting 3 legs over. And then I ended up getting another leg over later, like 3 or 4 years later. Now, the legs didn't stay over, so they call it an emerald when you've got three businesses over for 6 months. I ended up with two businesses over for 6 months and then another business over for three. We were actually what we called emerald qualification, but never completed it. So in Amway's mind, you're an emerald type of business, but you're not quite there yet. And in my mind, I thought, well, when I get to emerald, I see people retiring in emerald. Like we got invited to speak around the country. Oh my God, we spoke. I don't even know how many times we spoke at people's seminars. Other emeralds and other diamonds would invite us in. We were young. We were 20, 27, 28 years old. And we spoke in, I think I figured last night, like 13 different states. We had promised that we'd be asked to come to Belgium and speak. And we were going to go to Germany and speak when we got to like Emerald.
Wow.
And so we had good relationships and actually were pretty good speaking. It was fun. I loved it. As I'm talking to you, this is like a blast to me.
Yeah.
A good time.
I get it. I totally get it.
So we enjoyed it. So the first time we got invited to speak, we got paid. And now I had been going to all the conferences. I'm going to the functions and I'm buying my tickets to a function. So the way the function system worked back then was we had a monthly team rally every month. 4 times a year, they had like a regional or a big event. So you went to your 8 minis and then you went to your 4 regionals. So every month you had a function expense. And what they taught us was that you actually opened up 2 checking accounts. One was your Amway business checking account. And one was your system checking account. We went ahead and opened up 2 checking accounts and we would feed the system account with our Amway profits because there was no profits in the system. So for example, if I had, say I had 100 people going to a conference, I needed 100 tickets. And let's just say they were $12 a piece. I wrote a check to my upline for $1,200, but I only collected $1,176 because $24 of it is ours. So there was never any profit. So you kept it separate. These are tax deductible expenses. These aren't.
Okay.
And then we were also on a weekly program called, at that time was called Standing Order Tape, which was actually a CD or a cassette tape that would literally come in the mail and you get them for your entire downline. So in our case, once a week, a box would come with, say, I don't remember what the most numbers of people we had, but let's just say a case had 100 tapes and we get a box of 100 tapes. I would take my tape out. And then the other 99, we would distribute out to all of our IBOs when they would come over to our house to pick up their products. They'd also get their tapes and they would pay us out of their tool account.
So is most of your team local to you? You aren't shipping anybody's tapes or boxes anywhere?
Oh, no, we're shipping them. Okay. Yeah, we're shipping some because some of my team wasn't local. Okay. Or I'm going to see them next Wednesday when I drive 3 hours pulling out nose hairs and I'll bring them their tapes.
Okay.
So you're feeding your tool account and, you know, you're feeding it. Well, if I figure the tapes were about $7 a piece. And then we were not only on the standing order tape, the leadership tape, we were also on what was called the leadership tape. That was for the people that were really serious. You get 2 tapes a week. And you were always told that, you know, the more tapes you listen to, the faster you were going to grow. And so I was all in. And it wasn't such a bad thing for me because I had a profitable business and I didn't have any problem paying for my tapes and stuff. And I'm out thinking to myself, I'm building me a business. I'm going to be an emerald because I see people retiring at emerald and everything's going to be fantastic. All of a sudden, there must be some avalanche that opens up and at emerald that must be phenomenal. So I'm thinking rank the whole time. And I'm building a lot of relationships on my team. I still to this day have great relationships with all these people because we were building an Amway business. What I didn't know was how much money was going through me in terms of these tools. And that's what I'm going to get into here in just a minute, because I'm blindly, excitedly building my Amway business and I'm sponsoring people. I'll tell you a quick story. My first big leg, which actually ended up doing about, in today's business, it'd be about $90,000 a month, which is about $1 million leg.
Wow.
I had one leg that was huge. I think I went down like 42 levels in depth and I don't remember. There are different levels, silver, gold, platinum. In that leg, I had 15 or 16 silvers and golds and platinums. We had people making money, but that leg actually came from, if I didn't have a meeting, if I was not talking to somebody, I didn't want to stay home. I was like, oh my God, I can't be home because if somebody drives by my house and sees my car at home, they'll know that I'm not committed, then they won't be committed. So you either like parked your car behind your house in your alley or you went out and did something. It's no joke. You don't want anyone to know you were home because it was a badge of honor.
Like that is so wild.
It was a badge of honor to be out building your business 5 and 6 nights a week. And the harder you worked, the more you got recognized for working hard.
It's like I drove by Steve's house and his car was there.
Yeah, he's not serious. So, he's not serious.
Wow. He took Saturday night off. Steve is not serious.
I went to the mall. And that's how I met my first big leg. Because I didn't sponsor anybody that I knew. Like none of my friends, I had no credibility. None of my friends got in business with me. So I had to meet everybody. And through my Amway career, I actually sponsored 53. So I went platinum with 14, ended up sponsoring 53 total. Four of them ended up going over the top, the high scale, whatever. But my first one that I ever met was in a mall, and I was out just being busy because I had to get out of the house. And I sat down on this bench in a mall next to this guy. And I looked at him. I said, "You lose your wife too?" He's like, "Yeah, she's in a store. I don't know what she's doing." And I said, "Yeah, mine too." And mine was at home. I was out trying to meet somebody. I was trying to find me a platinum. And we got talking. One thing led to another. Told my own business. I was expanding in the area, looking for a couple of key people. One thing led to another. Exchanged names and phone numbers. Ended up sponsoring them into the business with us. And we built depth in that leg. And then that leg ended up being a huge, a really nice size organization for us. But
wow.
It was a guy I met on a bench in a mall. And so none of the 53 people that I sponsored were people that I knew. I met a lot of people. I would contact anybody. Like if you were breathing, they always told us to hold a mirror up to their nose. And if it fogged up, that's somebody you should contact.
Wow.
Like everybody's a prospect. Nobody's not a prospect.
Right. If they've got a pulse, they're a prospect.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, really quick while we're talking about this, what were some of your favorite ways to prospect?
Oh, that one was good. The mall was always good. Or walking up to somebody saying, "Oh my God, you look familiar. Do I know? What's your name?"
Oh no.
And then you get talking. Or I used to like to, once in a while, I'd go to the airport. And that was always fun. That was before 9/11. So you can get down to the terminal and wait for people to get off the plane. And you could just sit down and somebody be waiting for somebody to get off. They're waiting for their cousin to come in from New York. And you're sitting down. And you're like, "Are you waiting for someone?" "Yeah, I'm waiting for my cousin." I'm like, "Oh yeah, me too. I'm waiting for so-and-so." And then they would see their cousin. So you just sit there afterwards. But you make a good contact, exchange names and phone numbers. And then they would leave. And they don't know that you have your cousin never was coming back.
Oh my God.
But if you're hungry, you got to be hungry. That's the whole thing. Les Brown, man, you got to be hungry.
Just lie. Gonna make up a bunch of lies.
I hate to say that, but you know, you're in the hunt. I wasn't like, I'm not a dishonest person, but I'm like, I'm building me a business. I got a dream, man. So we're building the business. Our tools would come in. They called them tools. And so by definition, a tool is something designed to do a job more quickly and more efficiently. And I believe that. I'm like, you bought your weekly tape or your weekly CD, and then you bought your leadership CD. And then we had Book of the Month, which was a book to read that was something about How to Win Friends, Influence People, Magic and Thinking Big, Business for the 21st Century. There's all kinds of great books out there that are phenomenal leadership books. And then you also had your weekly open meeting, which is where they showed the program so you could bring prospects. That was another cost. And then you had your monthly mini. And then you had your regionals, which were quarterly, but a lot of times those were hotel stays, gas, overnight. So your expense, I would say that, now I can't speak for today and I can't speak for everybody else, but I don't think the business has changed that much in truthfulness. You'd almost have to be a platinum to break even in Amway. That was my take. Because we were able to do a lot of the things. And then as I started to break down line platinums, they were able to do a lot of things. But I know a lot of my business owners that would come to me for what we called counseling, because I'm such a qualified counselor. 99% of the cases were financial crises that they were in. And a lot of it was caused because of what they were spending to try and build their business. So my advice to them was, well, we got to help you get wider. We got to help you get more people sponsored. And they got to keep in mind, the average person only sponsored like 1.5 people. The average person was not going to go platinum. It wasn't going to happen. Now, I can't say, well, this person would or this person wouldn't, because I can't pick who succeeds and who doesn't. But there are those people that do. And so my advice to them was always, hey, what else can we do to help you build? Maybe go out to the airports and try and meet some people, go to the mall and try and meet some people. People weren't going to do what I was doing. There was a very small percentage of people that would do what I was doing. Either they didn't have enough guts to do it, or they just weren't crazy enough to do it. But I was determined. And then I started to see some things start to change a little bit. And that's what I want to share with you. And that's where I'm going to say my naivety started to go away. Because we were running a pretty good size tool business. We were running a pretty good size function business, although there was no profit in it. And I'll give you an example. I think my largest count to a conference, I might have had 275 people coming to conferences.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it was big. And they always taught us, anytime I would go to my upline with questions, it was never about Amway. Like my questions would have been about, how do I get this group to grow? What can I do here more? The questions I would get back are, well, how many people are on the standing order program? How many people are on the weekly tape program? How many people are coming to conferences? It was always based around the system. Like all of their questions were the system's predictable. When you have 50 people getting a tape every week, you'll be 7,500. When you have 70 people coming to conferences every month, you'll be 75. It's all predictable. It was never about, how do you create more volume? How do you create more customers? The only upline concern was system-based. And remember, I'm running this checkbook And each month I'm writing a check for, if I had 200 people come to conferences, I'm writing a check for $2,400 and I'm paying 24 of that 2,400. So there's 2,200 or 2,300 some odd dollars going to somebody's pocket. Now, I'm not thinking that. So when we started growing the business and started being invited to speak different places, we would get paid. So say that I would go to, my wife and I would go to New York and we did a seminar at West Point, actually. It was cool. They flew our kids out. They flew her and I out. And then we spoke for 3 hours. We got paid like $750 to speak for 3 hours.
Wow.
And I knew that there was income coming from somewhere, obviously the ticket sales, but I thought, okay, that's paying me and paying for my airlines and paying for my hotel. But the other $5,000 that was left over, I don't know where that went. I assume it went to the host or, I mean, I just didn't think much of it. I never thought about it as, oh my God, this is quite an income source for people. But when you start to multiply things times 12 months, it becomes a lot of money. And I remember coming back from the first time we got invited to speak in Wisconsin, it was. And I said to my upline, I said, holy cow, I was shocked. They gave us a check for like $300. We talked for like an hour and a half. They gave us $300. Like, I was so surprised that I got paid. I didn't know people got paid. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to get paid. Of course you're going to get paid. You took your time away from your group and we're going to compensate you for that when you speak. I'm like, oh, cool.
That's really interesting, actually, because I spoke for LuLaRoe. I was never paid for any of the speaking things that I ever did. I don't think anybody in LuLaRoe was ever paid. I think you might be the first person, and I might be wrong, you guys can correct me, but I think you might be the first person who's actually been like, yeah, I was paid to speak. Most of the time, they're just like, this is exposure. Like, you should be thankful that we picked you to be on stage. So it's very interesting.
Well, keep in mind, I'm not speaking for Amway Corporation.
That's true.
I'm speaking for a cross-line emerald or a cross-line diamond that I don't really know. And they're looking for somebody to motivate their group. And so my upline, they call my upline and say, hey, do you have somebody who can come in and motivate our group? He's like, yeah, I got this young couple. They're on fire and you'll love them and we'll send them up.
So the cross-line pays you.
Yeah, cross-line.
Okay.
So cross-line is a big word. I want to touch on cross-line.
I never got paid by cross-lining either. And I did a lot of like things and other people's teams and stuff, but I didn't get paid for that. That's very interesting. Okay, continue.
Yeah, so let's talk about cross-line for a second, because the word cross-lining is a taboo word in the Amway business. Like, you are told never to cross-line, like never, which is odd, because in any other industry, if somebody's having success, say that I have a question, say, hey, how come so-and-so is succeeding so much? And like, I just don't see it working for me. Can I spend a little time with so he can help me? In every other industry, hey, learn. And if I'm an upline, I want my downline to succeed. I would encourage them to cross-line with somebody who's growing.
Absolutely.
But the logic of this doesn't make any sense. It's more of mind control
than
it is growth control. By definition, now you got to remember, we're talking about two different things. You have the Amway Corporation, which is the Amway business that manufactures products and sells them through a multi-level marketing company. Legal, illegal, I think it's legal, I don't know.
Technically.
Whatever, they've been around for years, they're legal, fine, good enough. Okay, that's Amway. That's Amway income. That's what I was building. That's what I'm teaching my group to build. I'm going to seminars. I'm buying tapes to help me build my Amway business. I don't know any different until I go out and speak and get paid $300 to speak and think, oh, cool, that's cool. Okay, so that's where that money goes. Still didn't think much about it. Didn't put it all together yet. I'm going, hey, let's keep building. And I'm encouraging my group to keep building. We're growing the Amway business. And so cross-lining is, by definition, by Amway Corporation definition, not by system definition, not by people definition, but by Amway Corporation definition, they actually call it cross-grouping. And it means you're not allowed to buy products from somebody other than your upline. Because when you get sponsored, you're basically entering a contract that, hey, I'm going to buy all my products through my upline so they get credit for the volume. And that's what a multi-level business is. So that makes sense.
Right.
I'm not going to buy something from somebody outside of my group. First of all, I won't get a bonus check on it. Second of all, they won't get a bonus check on it. My upline won't get a bonus check on it. So that's the definition of cross-grouping. Through the years, it got changed to cross-lining. And what that meant was you don't talk to anybody who's not a cousin of yours. So what that means is, so Roberta, let's say that you sponsor me and you sponsor a couple named, I don't know, whatever. You sponsor Rick.
Mark and Deanne.
You sponsor Mark and Deanne or Moira, whoever you sponsor. Okay. So you sponsor me and you sponsor somebody else. You're upline from us. I'm cross-line from this other person. So
right.
This other person and I are encouraged and very strongly encouraged to never build a relationship. You only, even though we see them every month at the conferences, we sit next to them. We go out for the fish fry afterwards. We're friends. We see each other. We cheer for each other. We root for each other. We sit next to each other at conferences. We may live in the same neighborhood and it'd be easy to carpool. You are taught don't carpool, never carpool, don't spend any time together. You don't want to talk to other people who aren't part of your upline. You only build your relationships upline and downline, never crossline. And the reason for that was they can't help you build your business. Only your upline can help you build your business. There's nobody else on earth that wants you to succeed more than your upline. Only your upline can help you build your business. So when we would get invited to speak, we would get flown in or drive in, whatever. We would stay in a hotel. We wouldn't spend any time with the host until we got there. Like it started at 2 o'clock. We'd get there at 1:30. We'd see him behind the stage. We'd get introduced, make a big deal out of you, whatever, play a bunch of music, make you look good. They got like the streamers hanging. Man, I got signs on the wall, welcome. So we would never spend any time with the people that even invited us in because they were crossline. And you didn't want to get a reputation. Okay, here's another mind control. You don't want to get a reputation as a crossliner.
Oh no.
Because you'll never get invited to speak again. And then guess what? That extra 300, 600, 800, 1500, depending on what level you're at. That's going to go away.
Yeah.
So now they got you kind of roped in that, hey, there's some income here. I better toe the line. I want to still be considered the guy who gets to speak and starts to get the privileges. What's interesting about that is all of the privileges are determined by your upline. There's no rules on the privileges. So they can take it away from you or give it to you anytime you want.
It's pure favoritism and control.
Yep. I'll give you another example. As I'm building my business, I'm thinking, hey, what are good ways that we can grow? Like we keep seeing the same people. So there was an Emerald in another business that I happen to be friends with, known for years. And I thought, hey, let's do a Sunday night conference call with my team. When conference calls started to become popular, we'll get him on there and just he can just talk to everybody and fire him up. And did a great conference call. We had probably 45, 50 people on the call. And he was just talking, telling jokes, laughing, spending time together, fellowship, whatever, electronically. Had a great time. My upline found out that I had him come on the conference call and had me meet him early before a meeting. I want to talk to you. And I went and talked to him. He told me that if I ever did that again, that I would be banned from all of his functions. Now, keep in mind, I make up 2/3 of his functions. But intimidation, mind control, and gaslighting, 100%. And here I am, naively, youngly taking it in because all I'm thinking is, I just want to keep building my business. Like, oh my God, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I know it's a big deal. Now, when I look back at it as an intelligent human being, I realize what it was. So we're building our business. And so I see there's a little money in the system. And then some really odd things start to happen. My upline becomes a diamond. They actually became a diamond. And I don't want to get into how they became a diamond because I don't believe that they actually did it legitimately. But at the diamond level, you get to start hosting all your own events and you're not plugging into your upline anymore. So you can, and a smart diamond would, because they're not big enough to be that strong yet. If you want to keep your group excited, have people keep coming to conferences where there's 5 to 10,000 people. Don't pull them out to your little group where you got 400. But because at that level, you start to create a lot more income and you get to keep all of the money from the system. He became, I'm going to say that the system got him to the point where he was greedy because now he's having all his own conferences. They started coming up with some of their own tools and they would have me go on the stage and promote whatever new tools they had. Like, hey, here's a flip chart on how to show the program to people. I'm like, wait, we've been showing the program to people without a flip chart for years. Why am I going to charge people $35 for a flip chart? See, in my mind, I'm building what I thought was an honest business and I'm trying to keep my people's costs down. Like, I don't want their cost to be up. Like, let's build this as efficiently as we can. So one example is we had a big conference and it happened to be in our hometown. The actual conference was going to be in a hotel that was literally walking distance from my house. And obviously, if that's where I live, I had a pretty good sized group. A lot of my people were in range of that area.
Yeah.
And one of the rules to go to the conference was you had to stay in the hotel to participate in the conference. You couldn't just come to the conference and go home for the night. And I said, well, why do they have to stay in the hotel? He's like, well, because we're trying to create an atmosphere of camaraderie. We want to keep people in the hotel. Maybe you'll spend some time with them after the conference. Everybody has to stay in the hotel to be in the function. And I said, well, I live like literally everybody, I would say 70% of the people coming live within 8 miles of where this hotel is. So I did a little research. Here I am getting to my, I'm starting to get some doubts now. So I'm doing a little research. And I find out that the rooms were $20 less than what they were charging for the room. So when you made your reservation for the conference, you paid your $145 for your ticket and you paid for your hotel rooms. And let's just make up a number. Say the rooms were $90. I went to the actual hotel because I could walk there. and they were out of town. And I said, what's the cost on the rooms? I'm just double checking. Rooms are only 70 bucks. So we're picking up 20 bucks a night on the rooms. And that's another source of income. And as this continued to go on, I'm starting to doubt a lot of things. And I've got a lot of people on my team that are looking to me as a leader. And I'm looked at as a leader. Like I said, I didn't have five people. I wasn't new. I had 275 people coming to stuff. And I started to distrust a lot of things that were happening. And then one day we got a box in the mail, and it was our books for Book of the Month, the Book of the Month Club. And this is in maybe the late 1990s. I don't remember, but Amazon had started. So,
okay.
So I always thought to myself, well, wait, why are we paying full price for books? Because if whatever the price was stamped on the back of the book is what we paid. And I'd see the same books on Amazon. I'd see the name on the back of the price on the back of the book, $22. Well, whatever reason, we get a case of books in the mail, and we might've gotten two or three cases. I don't know, whatever came in that month for our team. And my wife opens up the box, and there's a receipt in there. There might've been, I don't know how many books coming up. Let's say 20 books in a box. And the receipt was in there, made out to my upline, to his actual name of his company. And the bill was for $9 per book. And we were being charged $22 a book.
Head over to quince.com and grab yourself a little something something and support the show by supporting our sponsors. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and say hello to lightweight fabrics and classic styles. I have been taking advantage of the beautiful weather and getting outside for daily walks, and I cannot say enough good things about the Flowknit high-rise boyfriend jogger from Quince. Seriously, running errands, doing school pickups, swinging by the farmer's market, or taking Zsa Zsa for a stroll around the lake, these bad boys are versatile. I love the deep pockets, the high waistband, and the internal hidden drawstring. They're quick drying, moisture wicking, antimicrobial, and the four-way stretch makes them so comfortable. They're made with 88% recycled polyester, and the Global Style Standard certified yarn dramatically lowers environmental impact by diverting landfill and ocean-bound plastic. Not to mention using recycled claim standard approved dyeing, washing, and manufacturing processes with low water and eco-friendly dyes. They have become an absolute favorite, and you can save up to 59% off the high-end counterpart by shopping with Quince. Throw on a Cotton Modal scoop neck tee and some sneakers, and you've got a perfect, effortless outfit. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM. Do you ever wonder how much of your personal data is out there on the internet just for anyone to find? I promise it's more than you think. Your name, contact info, social security number, home address, even information about your family members. It's all being compiled by data brokers and openly sold online. This can lead to a lot of problems, including identity theft, phishing attempts, harassment, and unwanted spam calls. But now you can protect your privacy with Delete Me. Signing up for the service is super easy. Just provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. They send you regular, personalized privacy reports showing what info they found, where they found it, and what they removed. I got my report, and I was floored with the results. Of the 105 data brokers they checked, 83 of them had my data. Delete Me then removed 173 listings of my personal data off the internet. And they make sure that it stays off too. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me at a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and use promo code MLM at checkout. The only way to get the 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/MLM and enter code MLM at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/MLM, code MLM.
You got a fine line here between being disrespectful to your upline, casting yourself out as being a doubter. Will I still be asked to speak? Should I bring this up? Should I not bring it up? I'm like, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm going to challenge this. So I called on the phone and I said, hey, got a question for you. I think you accidentally sent us your receipt for your books. In one of the cases, you forgot to take it out. I said, but it says we're only getting charged $9 per book. Why are we paying $22 for books that only cost $9? He got very upset and told me that's got to be some kind of mistake. He's got to get to the bottom of this right away, and he'll get back to me as soon as he can. And just if I would throw that receipt away because it can't be accurate. And if he finds out that he's being charged $22 for books that only are supposed to cost $9, he will be very upset and he will get back to me as soon as he can. And we'll get this to be right.
Holy shit. That's a lot of gaslighting. You're literally holding the evidence in your hand. And he's like, throw that, burn it, throw it away, eat it. Can you eat it? Is it edible? Eat it. Nobody needs to see that. I'm going to look into this for you. What a liar.
Yeah. He's going to help me out.
Yeah, right.
He was a master at creating problems and helping me solve them.
Right? I know a couple people like that.
So we distributed our books out. We have to charge everybody $22 because we had to pay our $2,200 book bill. And but that started to make me question some things. And then I actually was the person that he would lean on, because a lot of the group was local, to actually find places for our local seminars. So I would know what they cost because I was the one who actually got them. The room was $400, whatever. Okay, so you pay your, that's $400. And you get in the room when it's all said and done, and there had to be, I don't know how many people there were, but there was so much more profit. There was so much more revenue coming in than the $400. And so obviously that was going in his pocket. And then we had the book program. We had the functions and the seminars. Well, let me go back to cross-lining for a second, because as I started to build relationships with people that were cross-lined from me, and they were basically at the same level I was at, and I don't want to get into the numbers, but I know I sent you a copy of my 1099 from 1994. And I don't know, without me saying numbers, was it impressive?
For 94? Yeah. How old were you in 94? I mean, it seemed like a pretty impressive number for an Amway business.
I was 29 years old.
Yeah. That's good money for a 29-year-old in the 90s. Absolutely.
As a part-time business,
yes.
So I'm booking the functions and I see what's coming on. And I know who we're bringing in to speak. And I know what level they're at. And so I knew what we were paying them to speak, because the levels, your rank, so your rank determined your income level. So at my level, my first one was $250 for speaking, or $300, whatever it was. Okay. And then we went up to, as we started to break off legs underneath us, for an example, an Emerald would get $1,500 to speak. So they would speak for the same amount of time, but they would get paid more money back then. I don't know what it is today. And then a Diamond would obviously get way, way more money, and they'd speak to a bigger group. But so I kind of saw what was going out, and I'm thinking to myself, holy cow, there's a lot of money here. My people are paying for a lot of things that, like, I didn't see where this was all going, because I'm building an Amway business. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I mean, I knew there was some money in the system, but I didn't realize just how much that it actually was.
Right. You're not involved in the tool scam. You're not selling tools. Like, you're not getting any of this money. So you're seeing this money and going, where is this? Where's this money coming from? Where is it going? What is it paying for? What is going on?
I know where it's coming from, and I'm encouraging my people. Don't get me wrong. I'm encouraging my folks to buy materials. When you go out and show the program to somebody, leave them a couple tapes to listen to, you got to invest in your business. I am as much promoting this system as my upline is promoting it. He's promoting it, obviously, to build his business. He's also promoting it to make income. I'm only promoting it to build my business. We had a philosophy, you never missed a function. Like, you just do not miss a function. Like, matter of fact, the statement was made, every time you miss a seminar, you set yourself back. You set your freedom date back by 6 months.
What?
Yeah. So not only would they tell me that, I would tell my team that, because I really believe that if I didn't get the motivation to get the gas in my tank, how am I going to build me an Amway business? And there was another thing that was always said, that the only reason to miss a function is for a funeral, your own.
Wow.
Not only did I hear that, I said, that's how I promoted functions to people. Or all the real leaders are going to be there. Or I want to be the heat, go to the fight. You got to get around your upline. Work hard to get around your upline, because they got the magic. They're the magic. So even though I saw my upline was not growing at all, they were 100% in the management phase, but they were certainly big on promoting tools and that kind of thing. I'm jumping around here, but when we got the receipt for $9, I thought to myself, hey, there's $13 profit in every one of these books. So I went to my upline afterwards and I said, well, you know what? We can actually buy these books cheaper somewhere else. People have financial struggles. Gasoline is going up. I remember having these conversations. Like, I think that we can cut some costs here for people, and we can be more efficient with the way we're getting some of this stuff. And he said, no, you don't want your group buying books from anybody other than their upline. And I said, well, why? You really want to know what kind of information is going into their heads to make sure you know the pulse of their thinking in your group.
Wow.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes, yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, okay. But now I'm starting to doubt. Like, not only am I hearing it, but I'm doubting it. So here's where I was going before. So what this does is I had this good income from Amway, but I'm starting to really distrust my upline, who I was friends with for what I thought for a while. I thought he really had my best interest at heart, and really cared and all that stuff. Because they would tell us, they'd bring us up on stage and say, this couple's magic and we love them and they're so great and we get hugs and we were the shit. It was good. And so they loved us. I was like a son to them, according to what they told me.
Right.
So you have a fine line. You've got this nice income from Amway, but you're questioning a lot of things. And now you start to go through mental anguish. Like, I don't want to give up the income because my wife is home full time. This is a good thing. But it's starting to become a good thing gone about in a bad way that I naively didn't know was going in a bad way. And so as my business got bigger and bigger, I started to see people that were leaving. Like some of my key people were leaving. And they don't leave. They don't ever call you and quit. They don't say, hey, we're quitting. They just stop showing up.
Right.
When you get to the conference and you know they're not there because they didn't get tickets. But hey, what's the matter? How come? Well, we got other things to do. All of a sudden, things just start to become more important and they start to walk away. And then you've got these tremendous, what I thought, relationships with people that leave. And it hurts when they leave. It really hurts. But the difference was for me, and I will say this with 100% pride, there's nobody that left my business that I ever judged or thought poorly of. Mm-hmm. I'm still friends with many of them today. There are so many of them that I called to tell them, hey, I'm doing this podcast. And as soon as it comes out, I'm going to tell you about it. And you're going to love it because you're going to recognize all the stories and you're going to hear me talk about you. And I say that because here's what ended up happening. I just want to get to the kind of the end of the story. I really saw a lot of this stuff going on, and I saw the books were expensive, and I saw that people were making money. So as we started speaking at conferences, I started to become friends with some of these other people across line. We had a good income, and I know they had a good income because they're at the same level. But what I started to learn was they were making money on tools. One of my friends was making $1 on every CD that went through his business. I had more CDs going through my business and wasn't making $1 on any of them. So as a platinum, let's say he's making $30,000 a year, and I'm making up numbers, so I don't know, want to quote these numbers, but let's say he's making X dollars, he might have another X dollars coming in that's equal to that in system money.
Wow.
And here's why crosslining was not allowed, because I was never supposed to find that out. Because my tool income, quote unquote, was 100% based on my upline's discretion. So if his tool income was based on his upline's discretion, just because I hit a new level, they're not going to give him a bigger discount. It would have had to come out of his profits.
Right.
So if you're greedy and don't want to share and don't want to funnel money into more growth, you should, to me, if you got somebody who's producing, you should pay them to produce. Wasn't happening here. So as I had more and more cross-line relationships, I thought, holy cow, I'm getting screwed. I got to be honest with you. I didn't think that I was being screwed in a negative way. I just thought I'm missing out on income that other people don't have. Because I was also never chasing that income. I found out about it kind of in a roundabout way. It was kept very secretive from me. You follow me?
Yeah.
I'm writing a check for $2,200 for books, and I'm only spending 24 of it. This guy's getting back 500 on his 2,200, like 12 times a year, that's 6,000 bucks. I'm getting nothing. So as I started to learn this, I'm like, okay, there's something not right here. And I started to really doubt some things, but I didn't want to doubt it enough that I lost my business, but I'm also losing people. So I go from 200 people coming to conferences down to 150 people coming to conferences because they were smart enough to figure it out.
Right.
And so I ended up going to a meeting across town that was a cross line meeting. And I met some really nice people that were completely in a different, what we call LOA, line of affiliation. So let me explain what that is. Your line of sponsorship is where you are in Amway. When I get into Amway, if I get sponsored by you, I am in your line of sponsorship. My PV, my volume, my dollars, my Lex vitamins always go through you. If I want to get my training system through you, that's my line of affiliation. I'm affiliated with this training system, which happens to be the same as the line of sponsorship in 99% of the cases. But you aren't required to be part of that line of affiliation. If you Wikipedia a bunch of Amway leaders, you'll see that there might be a line of sponsorship and a different line of affiliation.
Okay.
So your line of sponsorship and line of affiliation that you enter into never wants you to leave because they make money on all of your tools and stuff.
Okay.
But I was not happy with what was going on. I saw my business going completely backwards. It was what took me 15 years to build was falling apart in 2 years. And I mentioned earlier about cross-lining. So understand this. So you've got two types of things here. You've got a line of affiliation, which is the line of affiliation that I'm in. And then you have other lines of affiliation. So when I talk about cross-lining, cross-line relationships are people within your own line of affiliation. It's not cross-line to other lines of affiliation because you're never exposed to those lines of affiliation. You're only exposed to yours. So for example, I've got a diamond up above me, and that diamond's got a diamond up above him, and then there's like a triple diamond up above him, and eventually you get to the top of the LOA. And then there's other LOAs though. So within an LOA, there could be hundreds of diamond organizations. And then in other LOAs, there's, you know, hundreds of diamond organizations. So when I talk about cross-lining, what I'm talking about is, you know, in my own LOA, I don't have any access to any lines of affiliation. So when we're asked to speak outside of our organization, we're asked to speak outside of our organization, but within the LOA.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we're all doing the same thing. We're all telling the same story. So cross-lining was looked down upon because, as I said earlier, they didn't want you to learn about the tools. Because in any industry, as I mentioned, you know, if you're in the same industry, you're building the same business, you know, we want to share information and knowledge to get the fastest, you know, what works the best, what are best practices. But in this case, they kept you away from each other because of who was making money on tools within your LOA. Okay, that's important to know. So when we got asked to speak, what happened was I started to create relationships with the people that I was asked to speak for. Like we would go into their group and speak, and because of the nature of what we were doing, we just started to build relationships. What I started to notice when I went in to speak for other groups was I actually had a bigger business than a lot of people that I was asked to speak for, but their lifestyle was completely different. And I couldn't imagine, well, how can their lifestyle be different? I know I mentioned at some point that 6 months out of 12 was a qualification, but founders is 12 out of 12. My business was 12 out of 12. So I actually had bonuses coming in that they might not have had coming in, because you did get qualification bonuses when you went 12 out of 12. You got founders bonuses. But when I would go in to speak for somebody I want to use the word lower level, and I don't mean that as a descending way or as a derogatory statement, but their lifestyle was different. They were driving different cars. They were talking about retiring and quitting their jobs. And I couldn't imagine, because my Amway income, I knew, was higher than their Amway income.
Right.
So in my mind, I'm questioning a little bit of, well, how are they retiring and living these lifestyles, but I'm not. And then I thought, well, maybe they had more money saved up. Maybe they had, you know, maybe they had outside sources of income that I didn't have, whatever it was. And then a couple of things happened along the way. As we grew in the business, we started to be invited to other activities within our own upline. Now, when I say upline, I'm going above our upline diamond now.
Okay.
And I remember we went to a Friday night pizza and pie thing or whatever at their house. And it was an open house. So everybody that was at what they called the pearl or emerald level, sapphire or emerald level, whatever it was, they were invited to this Friday night thing. And you could walk around the house and you could see, you know, they had this beautiful home with a, you know, a gorgeous 10,000 square feet, you know, great lifestyle. They're a diamond. And I did see a receipt for tools. We were being charged $7 a tape or a CD. And I did see a receipt on their desk because it was an open house. I didn't hide it. They were paying $1.85 for those CDs.
Oh, wow.
So I realized that, hey, there's a lot there. How is it getting up to $7 by the time it gets to me? And it's, you know, you start to piece this stuff together. And I started to realize that, you know, that's why some of these guys really wanted to hit these levels, because they would start to get in on some of this money. So that was in my mind. And then when my upline actually became a diamond, it was a real odd way of becoming a diamond. He actually was his own sixth leg in another country because of a way in the plan that you could, you know, sponsor yourself internationally. And I know that for a fact that that was so he could get in on more of the tool money. He became a diamond. And from that day forward, and I'm going to say like 13 years forward, I never saw any new people coming with him. I never saw anybody in his sixth leg. I never met anybody, barely in his fifth leg. His fourth leg was a family member. So I think it was, you know, a lot of it was orchestrated. And because of that, he was able to now, you know, link into the little more tool money. And I believe what starts to happen to people is their ego starts to get big, and their ego will get in the way of their growth. So my diamond actually decided to go out and get accredited, which I don't know if you know what that means, but if you go into Wikipedia and look up Amway accredited systems, you'll see a list of about 43 accredited systems. You'll see a bunch of different names. I'm not going to mention them. And there's about 12 of them now that are legitimate, but you actually see what the LOAs are. My upline, who only had about 400 people, decided to get his own system accredited so he could start to produce his own tools.
Oh, wow.
So not only was he plugging into, you know, the upline tools and creating income there, what else could he create? Because he was the diamond, he had the say. And so he basically pulled away from his own upline, which was our triple diamond, and decided all of our functions were his own. And that's where I mentioned you had to stay in the room to participate. He saw many, many ways of making money for the group. And from that point forward, I was like, why are we unplugging from the bigger team? It made no sense to me. Why are we unplugging and just keeping this little team very amateur, very unprofessional functions? You know, when you see the pictures of the big functions with the lighting and the lasers and the whole thing, we didn't have any of that. We were like in hotel, you know, ballrooms with a assembled stage. And there were three or four of us that were, quote unquote, the leaders that would speak at these events. We never got paid to speak at his events. We only got paid to speak at Crossline events when people would have us in. And I wasn't looking for payment to speak. When he pulled out of the whole thing on his own and became his own accredited system, there was nobody that was policing that. So each quarter, the group would get smaller and smaller. And at every one of our quarterly meetings, we would have what was called a silvers and up meeting, which meant if you had attained the silver level, you can attend this extra meeting. You know, if the function started at 7 o'clock, it was like, you know, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock that day. And it was like a privilege to go. And it didn't matter if you were qualified or not anymore. Now you've hit the rank, you know, 27 years ago, you're a silver and you can come to that meeting. And I'll tell you what started to happen in those meetings, because things were getting smaller and smaller, because he almost destroyed his own, well, he did destroy his own business eventually, but he would get up there and berate us for not growing enough, not doing enough. And he would berate people for their lack of efforts to grow and how they were doing things wrong and how it was the fault of the leaders in the room as to why things weren't growing. And we weren't achieving, you know, the levels that we could achieve. We weren't getting him further ahead is really what it was.
Right.
But yet he had nobody new coming. He wasn't doing anything to get himself further ahead, because once he became a diamond, he was going to live off of tapes, books, functions. And as I mentioned earlier, I had two accounts. I had this tool account and I had this product account. And, you know, the only way my tool account would stay active stay ahead is if I fed it for the tools I bought. Whereas in the other groups that I'd noticed, you know, obviously they had income coming in from tools. This guy kept everything. So the revenue coming in from the books, the audios, and the functions, he would go ahead and keep. And then when they started introducing homemade tools, I believe that was the beginning of the end.
Homemade tools.
Homemade, yeah. For an example, we're going to start to use a flip chart to show the program instead of the way we've done it for years. So Steve, you go up on stage and you promote the flip chart so everybody can buy a flip chart, and they'll leave here with $35 flip charts, you know, which was nothing more than PowerPoints and a plastic, you know, plastic page protectors. Let's use the flip chart now instead of showing the program, because it's duplicatable and all somebody has to do is go read it. And make sure you're telling the people to buy extra flip charts, so in case they show the program to somebody, they want to get started, they'll have a flip chart right away to get started with.
Wow.
And these were just very amateur tools. And so through the beratement and the shaming and the gaslighting, I started to see some of my people were leaving. Okay. They weren't, you know, they were borderline. So a silver and up, maybe it hit 7,500 once or twice. They're borderline. They're not making enough money to stay in. Whereas, you know, they don't have the income that we had. The beratement was terrible. And I had people come to me and say, hey, we're not going back. If that's the way we're going to be treated, we pay money to come to these functions and then we get treated that way, we're just not going to come back. It's just not worth it to us. And then I actually got, you know, nervous about this, because now I'm going to lose my business. I mean, so I thought, I'm going to go to the people further upline. And I went to my upline triple diamond and I called him and I said, is there any chance I can meet with you and talk? And, you know, this is a guy that I looked at as a hero, very well respected in the Amway business, incredibly well respected. And I drove one night, I don't know, 6 hours to meet with him, told him what's going on. And nobody in our upline would help us. Nobody in our upline would call this diamond, our diamond, and say, hey, you know, you're really screwing up. You need to plug into the bigger system. You're losing your people. They were all afraid of his anger, his temperament, and they wouldn't deal with it. And we were far enough down in a big enough leg of those guys that our business didn't really matter. There was another diamond in the same leg we were in that had like 32 downline diamonds. We were just a small piece. And so what I found out was the people that I thought were heroes, like, oh my God, they're going to help us. These guys, he's a triple diamond. He's a double diamond. I found out that those people were actually the biggest wimps I'd ever seen. They didn't want to deal with anything. It was easier just to push it under the table. And so the people that I listened to in the tapes and hailed as heroes and respected, there was nothing there. And that's when I realized that literally, they were making a fortune in the tool system, and they were never going to fix the house of cards that was crumbling because it would have affected their income.
Yeah.
And so that's when I decided to save my family, save my group, regardless of how it was received. Because either way, this is going backwards. So I actually ended up going to, and remember I mentioned LOA Crossline versus organizational Crossline?
Right.
There was another meeting going on in our hometown in a different LOA. And I thought, hey, it's right here in our town. I could bring my people to it, whatever. I knew that would be looked down upon because like when I had the conference call with the other guy, it was looked down upon. I was threatened never to be invited back. But I attended the meeting. I've made a couple of friends. And I will say this. I met a great person, great guy. And I still believe he's great to this day. Matter of fact, his name was Derek. And he was just a platinum in his LOA. But I will tell you, as a platinum, he was a better leader, a better listener. He was a better business owner than any diamond or double diamond I'd ever met. He said, and he's not involved in Amway anymore, just like I'm not. He said, you know, look it over, think about it. You've come to me. I'm certainly not coming to you to pull you into my LOA, but I'm here for you if you ever need help. But I really would encourage you to stay in your own LOA because if you leave, it's going to create a lot of confusion. You'll have people pulled all different directions because of loyalty and all the stuff that's been burned into them that you're always loyal to your upline no matter what. Even though I could have benefited him a little bit because, you know, there's a tool system in that LOA too. He would have benefited. He kind of pushed me away and said, you got to make your own decision, whatever. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go this route. He actually helped me meet the right requirements. I had to do some things. I had an interview with the top of the LOA and, you know, get some paper signed and that kind of thing. But I thought, you know, it's falling apart anyways. As long as my upline kept us away from everything other than himself, we're going to live on an island and it's never going to get better. So either I lose it this way or I lose it because I tried to fix it. And I went to my upline and said, I want you to know that I'm no longer going to be involved in your training system. And I'm switching lines of affiliation. I'm taking my entire team with me, which is not so easy to do. Now, don't forget, he's still getting credit for the volume. But here's what really got interesting, and this is what you'll love. He came back to me and he said, well, I'll tell you what, if you will stay in my line of affiliation, I'll offer you 22% of the tool's profit to stay. And then his next statement was, if you ever repeat that I told you that, I will deny that I ever said it.
Oh my God. So when you realized he was scamming you and not cutting you into the tool scam, you're like, well, I'll just find another line of affiliation. And he's like, oh, Google, I'll give you 22% to stay.
Huh. Uh-huh.
He could have been giving you 22% the whole time.
I wasn't chasing the 22%. Because if you just take a book at $9 that sold for $22, that's a $13 profit. 22% of those profits is about $2.86. He was willing to give me about $3 and he was going to keep 10. So then my next sentence to him, because I was always organization minded. Like, these are my friends. These are people I'm in business with. When I sponsored them, I made a commitment that I'm going to be with you for life and I'm going to help you grow. And my right to quit leaves because I can't just hop off the plane and leave you on there. I made a commitment to you. I really believe those things. When I sponsored you for life,
right?
Okay. And I'm still friends with a lot of these people today because we're friends for life. Amway or no Amway.
Right.
And so I said to him, I said, well, that's an interesting deal. I said, but let me ask you a question. When somebody on my team hits the level that I'm at, will there be 22% for them also? Will they get the same deal? And he said to me, we'll worry about that when the time comes.
Okay. Wow.
So I changed lines of affiliation.
Good for you.
And it was a very difficult thing too, because then you run into people that some stay loyal to you and some stay loyal to the old upline. Some don't like change. Oh, there's one more part of that story that you'll love. So I told my upline that I was leaving. I made the decision to leave. And I was actually at Wrigley Field in the men's room, sent the message from a stall on an email. I'm no longer coming to your functions. And never from that day forward, I got one phone call from them trying to get me to do the 22% thing. And then I never heard from them again. Not only did I never hear from them again, I never heard from the people between me and them again, ever. The same people who told me they loved me and wanted me to were the best. And were the one day I'm the hero and the next day I'm the zero. Never heard from them again, ever. Even though line of sponsorship, my PV is still going up through their entire organization. They're making a lot of money off of my volume. My volume didn't die that fast. So they're still getting paid, but we have never had another conversation with them ever, other than the 22%. So I stay in business. I keep renewing. We don't do anything. And we had to meet the volume requirement every month, which was you had to do 50 points a month in order to get a bonus. I still had a group. Right. All my friends left, but I still had a group of people that were buying products. I wasn't close to many of them. But they're still creating volume in 2013, 14, 15, 16. Amway volume, no tool volume. There's nobody building the business. There's no tools. There's nothing. So it's all Amway volume. And you had to do 50 points a month in order to qualify for an override bonus. So each month I would place an order. My wife and I would place an order for 50 points and we get our check for $1,200 or $1,300. And I use the toothpaste or whatever, or give it to my kids or whatever it was, give away energy drinks, whatever I was doing. I did have one customer, my mother, who was actually my first customer. She bought laundry soap from me way back when. And then still to this day, she's still a customer of mine. She's the only person that buys laundry detergent from me. And I tell her all the time, like, Mom, it's like three times the price of Tide. And she's like, yeah, I know, but I still like it, whatever. So that's my business. I have a customer.
You have one customer. You still have an Amway business and you have one customer. So talk to us about this 2021 FTC and like how everything sort of changed.
So in 2021, we weren't going to renew. We're like, okay, we're not going to renew. We're not doing anything. The business had gone down. It wasn't 1300 a month anymore. Now it's like whatever. So nothing to write home about. Plus you end up paying so much in taxes. I got no expenses to write off. I got nothing. So I'm like, I don't care. I'm so at a point in my life. I don't care. I'm doing quite well. The FTC sends a letter out and says, okay, from now on, you have to have customers registered. You have to have 70% customer volume. All these FTC requirements come out. So Amway literally changes their rules, or maybe doesn't change them. Maybe they just start to enforce what they thought was in place at the beginning. I'm not bad-mouthing Amway at all. So they change the rules and say, if you're business owners, this is not a self-consumption model anymore. And if your business owners don't have customers, they're not a legitimate business anymore. So they put an option out that you can now become a preferred customer, which is just an IBO that's not active. You can become a customer and you'll get wholesale prices and you get some perks, mileage points, or whatever you get. I don't know. And you lose your downline, but you still can. You're not really making anything anyway. So whatever. Now remember, haven't heard from anybody in 14 years. I get my first email in 14 years from my upline. My original upline, it says, hey, we're thinking that maybe it's best for you to become a preferred customer instead of being an IBO. You're really not doing anything and you still get wholesale prices and you'll get some perks, but you know, there's no reason for you to really be an IBO. And I'm reading the fine print. I'm like, wait a minute, then all of my downline guys who become preferred customers who take this bait, who don't have any downline of their own, all of their volume will go to my upline as their customer.
Yeah. So everything will roll up.
You were upset about me quitting your group. Now you're encouraging me to quit your group. Which way benefits you more? And I heard from my upline's upline, yeah, you should drop out. So I'm like, you know what? We're renewing. We are renewing. So I've stayed renewed. And all of my customers are preferred customers. And my mom, who buys laundry soap. And other than that, I get a check. I think last month I made like $400. I think I just checked today. I think I'm on pace to make $157 this month. So it fluctuates. It goes between $100 to $400. I'm okay. It's tough struggle for me. But here's the thing. If I would have not renewed, that money would have just gone to my upline.
Right. I mean, that's so wild that the FTC sends out letters in 2021 because all of these MLMs are totally breaking the rules during COVID and everything. So they send out all these warning letters saying, if you don't fix what you're doing, and here's all the proof that we have of you doing it, we're going to come after you. And so, I mean, Amway, the grandfather of MLM, like is very compliant with the FTC because they know, and they make this whole like, okay, you either are a business owner or you're a customer and you have to decide. You can't be a business owner who's a customer. You have to decide. And in that decision and those accounts that were literally IBOs doing nothing and then became customers.
My checks were going to shut off.
The checks were going to shut off.
Yeah.
And you were like, let's renew, keep that check, not only in my pocket, but out of yours, not just in mine, but definitely out of yours, which I think is so funny. But to actively keep that money away from your upline is hilarious to me.
So let me just tell you a little bit about today's business, which I happen to know quite a bit about.
Yeah. Okay.
So today there's still lines of affiliation, lines of training systems and all these things. And I've learned that there are many people who are at the higher levels that they make 3 to 4 to 5 times more in the line of affiliation than they do in the line of sponsorship. And so because of that, there's still a lot of manipulation that goes on with PV and volume and grouping and uplines ordering volume for their downline so they can create a rank. So for an example, in today's system, it's not upline determined. Or my upline determined whether I was going to get a nickel, a dime, a quarter, or a dollar. Today, it's all determined. They actually have compensation plans on the tools. I'm going to use the word tools pyramid because the definition that I was always taught of why something's not a pyramid is because, oh, there's an end user. There's an end user who's not in the business.
Right.
But in the tool system, the end user is the distributor. So if I'm a distributor and I'm buying a tape, I'm not selling that tape to anybody else. There's nobody else that wants to buy it. So I think there's some questions on that myself, but I'm not a lawyer. I don't want to get into all that. But I can tell you that today, as opposed to having CDs and tapes, it's all done in audio downloads. And some of the systems, for example, when you get started in business, you get your starter kit, you're an Amway distributor now, you want to get signed up on this training program. They go from anywhere from $89 a month up to $250 a month. And just like we were encouraged to always get the leadership tape, if you're serious about this, you'll go ahead and get the big package, the $250. But when you think about it, there's no cost to this. There's no CD being recorded. I mean, obviously there's a talk being done, but it's being done at a conference where you might have already been at that conference and already paid for it once.
Right.
So there's a lot of profit. And even on the functions today, even during COVID with the functions, they were doing them virtual. So you had no room rentals and you had no cost to that. You might have production costs, I get it. But people are having watch parties in their house with their little team and they're still being charged X number of dollars per ticket. And they tell you in the meetings, they're more upfront about it now than what they used to be. There's a couple sources of income here. You're building this type of business. You can have revenue from here and here. But I don't think it's really stressed at how much is available and how much you're financing of your upline's lifestyle through the system dollars that are being done. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I'm saying it's not completely open.
Wow. That is just...
So...
Wow.
I can tell you a story, one that I know of, where an upline, whether it's 3 legs to be an emerald or 6 legs to be a diamond, you have to keep those legs qualified for at least 6 months. And so there's cases where uplines have actually bought product for their downline. And when their downline got the bonus check on the products, the downline gives the bonus check back to the upline because they have to pay for the product somehow. Upline puts a little money in there, but that keeps a leg qualified
right. So
they can maintain their tool status. So I'm going to make up a number here. Say I have $1,000 a year coming in tool money and I have $200 a year coming in Amway money. In order to keep my $1,000 a year in Amway money, I might have to invest 100 of my 1,000 into that Amway business.
Right.
I still have 900 coming in. I'm obviously using very small numbers because I don't want to quote numbers.
Right.
But there's a lot of investment, shuffling around, structuring. When we were building the business, because it was upline determined, there was a case I know of where there were 5 diamonds in a row that one broke another, 5 straight down. They ended up leaving the business because there was no more tool money left. There was nothing to share with the 5th diamond.
Wow.
If you want to look at lawsuits that have happened in businesses in the past, in 90% of the cases, it's over tool money. If you look at any lawsuits, it was over tool money. It's never over the compensation plan of the multi-level marketing company. And I don't want to quote the names, but I can quote you case after case where money was on tools.
Ah, well, we have the whole episode about the tool scam and how like Dexter Yeager got into like a shouting match with Amway and saying like, we don't exist without each other. So figure it out. It's just, it's so wild.
I spoke at seminars where Dexter Yeager was the upline diamond.
Oh my God. Did you meet him? Did you ever meet him?
Oh yeah. I've been to his house. I got pictures of me and him together. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is he a nice guy or is he exactly what you expect?
He's really a nice person. He really is. And truthfully, I'm gonna tell you, I don't think it was started to turn out to what it turned out to be. There were a lot of greed set in with a lot of people.
Yeah.
He was a guy that was trying to build a business just like I was. Like a lot of people. A lot of people start this very innocently. And when then they're too deep into it, like I was. You're making too much money to walk away. Like, well, what do I do now? Now I got to tell the story. He innocently wanted to share information with people around the country, and it turned into people saw profits. And when people saw profits, it turned into greed for a lot of people. So a lot of the quote unquote religious principles that are taught maybe aren't so well followed. That's all I can say. A lot of it is a lot. I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors, but the image, you really want to portray a successful image. So even if you're a platinum that's not making a lot of money, everything's you're making more in Amway than you are. That's the key. There's no way that you can be a qualified at a level, only running a business 6 months out of the year at that level. It just doesn't happen. So you have to be what they call founders. You got to be 12 out of 12. You just can't create those incomes.
Wow.
And I go back to one of the things I always talked about in seminars. This was one of my favorite lines I used when I spoke, was people talk about the average person can't make it. The average person isn't going to make it. And I would say, well, you don't ever consider yourself average. Are you average? If you were average, you could put your feet in the freezer and your head in the oven and you'd be comfortable.
Oh my God, Steve.
And all my little one-liners. I was good at this.
Yeah. What does J-O-B stand for?
Oh, there's jackass of boss, just over broke. I kind of stayed away from a lot of cliches. I loved my people. I really loved my people.
Yeah.
And one of my friends that was in business with me that ended up going over 7,500 a couple times, and we ended up getting him to send other business together, had a blast. I called him, said I was going to be on here. He's like, oh, I can't wait to hear it. For my upline who didn't speak to me for 14 years, I give my wife and I credit that we never walked away from people because they quit Amway. There was just so much internal nonsense.
Right.
And I'm glad I'm not doing anymore. I don't want to do it again. It's fine. So
I'm so speechless. I know we had a conversation on the phone, so like a lot of this wasn't like new information, but I'm still speechless, even knowing this and you telling me again. Like, it's just, it connects so many dots. It answers so many questions that I have, like with other Amway business. It's another piece to the puzzle. Every single episode is another piece to the puzzle. And I think each episode, we just get a much more clear view of what's happening, what people are doing, how it's changing their lives, like for the good and the bad. It's just a very interesting, very well-oiled machine that I like sticking sticks in and like trying to figure out how it works. You know what I mean?
And I think you can stick the sticks in this. If the average person, this is why a binary plan to me makes so much sense. On a structural level, I'm not saying makes sense to be involved in any multi-level business, but a binary plan makes so much sense because you drive one leg straight down. You actually are giving people, in the beginning, the recruiting technique there is you're giving people a reason to get in. Like, say, well, yeah, I'll build one leg for you. And I already got six people ready to go. You left six people right under you. And even if you don't do anything for 5 years, you'll already have a leg built. Then you only got to build one. Well, that actually kind of makes sense if the average person only sponsors 1.5 people. Because the average person's not sponsoring 14 or 53. I know of a diamond that sponsored 14 people total, and 6 of them went platinum. That's pretty good.
Dang.
But the average person's not going to do that. So my negative of multi-level marketing, I can only speak of the one that I was involved in, is the cost of doing business is so high, not because it's necessary, because it's almost required.
Yeah.
Because the mindset is, when I would sponsor somebody, and it's no different today, I'm sure, if they didn't get into the system, the tapes and the book and come to all the conferences, well, don't spend your time with those people. Matter of fact, I would draw my organization out like with little circles. And when I would go to my upline and say, well, talk about my business, what I should be doing, where I should be growing. He told me, he says, only put the people on the diagram that are listening to tapes, reading books and coming to seminars. The other people don't matter.
They're a waste of time.
Right. They're a waste of time because they're never going to make it.
They're not churning through the tools. So they're a waste of time.
Correct. We had one thing one time called a warriors program. They like to use words like that, warriors, and you're like slaying dragons. We would meet every week and you had qualifications every week and you got points. And then the winner of each week would get the most points. And then the winner of the whole thing would get the whatever. Like if you showed the program to 5 people, you got points. If you, whatever. 8 of the 10 things you had to do were for every tape you bought, not every tape you listened to, every tape you ordered extra, you got a point and you can get up to 10 points. Well, if you have 50 people in the Warriors program ordering 10 tapes a week, you've got to remember, leaders don't just listen to the tape and then the new tape. Leaders order extra tapes. Leaders don't just read one book a month. Leaders read 3 books a month, and they all buy them from their upline. I will say that I and other leaders also always knew which products they could buy that created the most point value per dollar. Well, I can tell you that there are IBOs that are sitting at 6,000 points that want to get to 7,500. And the only way they can get there is to buy 1,500 points. But they have to have a customer. So what they will do is they'll order 1,500 points in vitamins and then ship them to a women's shelter.
What?
For free. And then write that off as a business expense that they donated it to a women's shelter.
Holy shit, Steve. What?
And I know that's true because it happened in my group.
Wow.
So anybody who doubts that, that's a fact that happened in my own group.
Wow, that's the first time I've ever heard of something like that happening. I've heard of like people creating ghost accounts, making fake emails, like saying, hey, this person, can you do this or whatever, or just placing orders, but like making a big, huge order and then like donating it to a place. Because again, the bonus that you're getting is so much more than the cost of what you have to place to get the bonus.
Not necessarily. It's not the bonus that you're getting. It's the recognition that you're getting.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
If I actually did the numbers with you, it's no bigger, but I can qualify at a level. I can show my group that I'm at that level. I can get recognized at that level. And that momentum that I will create by being recognized at that level will take me to the next level.
That's like a level of fake it until you make it that like, I didn't even like contemplate happening. Like, I mean, obviously you say it. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But like, in my mind, that is never a place I would have gone to on my own.
Well, women who are in shelters need vitamins.
Just the fact that people would do that.
I get it.
But you know what I mean? Like the fact that people like, ooh.
But there are many cases that I know of for a fact, because I know the people that it happened to or with, where they're thousands of points away from being at the next level, but their upline needs them at that level because they don't qualify for the level they need to be at in order to pick up the tool money. So Amway has a line of vitamins, and the vitamin line was always the best points for the dollar.
Was it under the Nutrilite brand?
Yeah, Nutrilite. So Nutrilite was the best points for the dollar. Today they've evened everything out. Today it's like 1 point equals $3 on everything. But back then it was like, you could buy Nutrilite for $1. A 1 point might have only been $1.30 for Nutrilite, and 1 point for laundry soap might have been a point for $3 for soap. So you don't buy soap. That makes no sense.
Right.
So if you're gonna buy in at levels, you always buy in at Nutrilite. So I honestly believe that there are people who have lawns that are incredibly well fertilized with vitamins because they had to find someplace. You talk about being garage qualified. They're front lawn qualified.
Well, but here's the interesting thing. The MLM industry now, like today, it is $190 billion industry. Like it's more than the NFL, music, and Hollywood combined. So that money, right up to the top of the pyramid, wherever it's going up, $190 billion. That's a lot of money. And they're projecting even more growth. They say at least 6% within the next 5 years, it's going to grow. It's a legal pyramid scheme. Like there's so much money just floating around unaccounted for. It's wild.
And here's the thing. Some of the multi-levels, like my daughter-in-law is involved in something that I don't even know if it's a multi-level anymore or not. I think I told you over the phone, but
oh, right.
She does well. She does good. And they actually brought me in to speak at a seminar for them. Like I did a talk, a motivational talk.
Yeah.
But I think I got paid a Lululemon gift card. So that's my new system income today. I've graduated down to Lululemon gift cards. That's all you got to send me. But in her case, she goes to seminars and she goes to things, but there's no charge.
Right.
The day that I spoke in that gymnasium or wherever I was, they didn't charge any of their IBOs. They don't have tapes to listen to and all this stuff. And they all seem to be just as motivated. Like, that's the thing I think that we've done, or that they've done in some of these, at least I experienced in Amway. My experience was so much emphasis on spending money and that you weren't serious unless you did.
Right.
I think that emphasis is still there today. But not as warranted. And they fight to keep that. Like, you got to keep that. You don't have the freedom that you never actually walk away unless you've got a platinum backed up by a platinum backed up by a diamond backed up by. I mean, you got to have a monster business to ever really create that freedom that you think you create. Yeah. The odds of that are very slim.
Well, I want to say thank you for sharing all of this. Like, I just, again, like I said, it's just another piece of the puzzle. Just more answers.
Well,
just more answers to questions I didn't know I had.
I'm glad you had me on. I will say, when it was going, it was a fun experience. My business was different than today because we didn't have the FTC rules. Well, we did, but we would sponsor somebody and then there was a 10 customer rule and we would just rip it up in their starter kit. Be like, oh, don't worry about that. Just buy your own stuff. And in the 80s and 90s, a self-consumption model was not such a bad thing, especially you lived in like rural Iowa or rural Arkansas or something. You didn't have Sam's Club, Costco. I mean, there was a place for this type of business. There really was. They would bring the stuff right to your door. It's like, oh my God, how cool is that? That wasn't a concept then.
Right.
So I think there are cases where they're ahead of their time. Then when they became a retail model, which is more of what they are today, because they had to become, it wasn't by choice, they had to become, it became a different business. But the emphasis on the training is still so high.
Yeah.
And I just don't think all of that is necessary. But I would say that my experience was till the end, till the doubt creeped in. I had a great team. I had fun. I loved it. I was chasing what I thought was honest. What would I say for advice to somebody looking at it today? Understand that what you're getting involved in, what you're thinking about getting involved in, there is a large percentage of income that you are going to be financing of people's lifestyle, that when you see the homes and the cars and all that stuff, it's not coming from the marketing plan.
Right. It's not.
Understand it. You want to be involved in that? Hey, more power to you. But at my $157 income right now that I have, I would almost bet I'm more profitable than most of the people who are actively building their businesses today.
No, I could 100% say that with confidence. I've seen a lot of numbers. Oh. And I would say that if you're making any profit at all, you are better than 99% of the people in Amway.
And I know mine's going to dry up and I don't care. It's just, I only renewed to spite somebody.
Yeah. Renewal out of spite, I think, is one of the only ways that I would be like, I'll allow it. It's a very interesting spite seems to be the only way that it's fine. But before we go, Steve, I have a couple rapid fire questions that I ask everybody. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Tell me one word that encompasses how you feel about MLM.
It's two words. I can't give you one word.
It's fine.
It's extreme, extreme caution.
Extreme caution.
And I got, it's going to be five words. It's going to be five words. I can't. Extreme caution and extreme due diligence.
Absolutely. I know you just gave us your warning, but what is a warning to somebody who maybe wants to join an MLM?
I have an odd piece of advice on that. If you get approached by somebody about an MLM and you say, hey, it sounds interesting, there's two things I would do. I would decide, okay, I want to do an MLM. Okay, no, you've decided to do it as opposed to them meeting you in a mall on a bench saying, hey, you lose your wife too. So you've made the decision to do an MLM. So here's what you should do. First of all, study tons of them. Then once you decide these are the top four that I want to look at, go within those MLMs and interview sponsors. Actually find the person that you can be sponsored by. Now, with that being said, then I would say walk away. And here's why. I had a guy come to me when I was building the business, and he said, I got your name from, I'd like to talk to you. I'm interested in doing Amway. I've actually had that happen. I'm interested in doing Amway. I'd like to talk to you. And I said, ask me anything you want. Let's get together. If I'm not the right fit for you, hey, that's fine. Go to somebody else. And he actually interviewed four of us and he picked me. And the other three were not in my downline or anything. So I had no, he ended up picking me. And a lot of the questions he asked me was about my commitment level, what I was willing to do to help him. Was I profitable? Because if I wasn't profitable, he wasn't going to be profitable. I couldn't teach him to be something I wasn't.
Right.
Okay. He didn't want to be in business with somebody who was faking it. And so my advice to someone would be, not only do you want to know what their commitment level is, I want to know how are they doing? What's their income level? And I really want to know that. And here's why. If I was opening another business, if I'm opening a sandwich shop franchise, I'd want to know the profit and loss statements. I want to know who owned it before. What's the revenue? What's coming in? How have you done? We have a tendency to look at multi-level businesses. It's not really a business, which neither here nor there. But if you're going to enter it, you better know just as much about it as you would if you were looking at any other thing. And we don't ask enough questions. Like, who am I getting in with? Because here's the thing. You could have a great idea with the wrong people and it's not going anywhere. Or you could have a crappy idea with the right people and they're going to help you get out of it. I want to know everything. And if there's one thing that's being hidden from me, I'm out.
I think that's great advice. I have people that listen to the show that are in MLMs or are not totally anti-MLM. And so hearing that kind of advice from you, which kind of mirrors everybody else's advice, but in a nicer like business way, I think it's important to hear that perspective. And if there is something, those red flags, stop. Like, look at the profit loss. Ask people. And I will also add, ask people that have left the business what it was like.
Absolutely. Which they encourage you not to do.
For good reason, I guess.
It's funny you say that. When we were building the business actively, there was another couple that was cross line from us, but they were at the same level we were at. And they were coming to all the same conferences. As a matter of fact, I would put a tuxedo on for the evening session. And he would put his tuxedo on. And we were the hosts for the rally. And of course, we were not allowed to change into our tuxedos in the same locker room at the high school, because that would be cross-lining. So him and his wife ended up leaving. Like, they stopped coming. They were never to be seen again. They just disappeared. And obviously something happened. I didn't know what it was. So I went to my upline and I said, where'd they go? I don't see them anymore. He's like, I can't believe you'd even notice that. And why would you even ask?
What?
Gaslighting. Gaslighting to the max.
How dare you ask about people that are no longer, how dare you even notice they're no longer here?
Right. So I agree with you. I would interview people that are out. Why'd they get out? Here's the thing. If you think you're going to make big time money in MLM, you better have the balls to ask big time questions.
That's a great point. What is the worst MLM in your opinion?
I don't know enough about any of them, truthfully. No, you're talking about a guy who naively like had a blast doing this. I don't know. I don't know what the worst one is. I don't know enough about them. I just don't.
That's fair enough. What is the hardest lesson that you learned while you were in Amway?
Great question. And I will give you the answer. I had a tendency, because somebody was in my upline and I put them as they are successful in Amway, I thought they were successful in everything. So I was not afraid to share my heart with them. I was not afraid to ask marital questions, not knowing what their married life was really like. I was not afraid to ask financial questions, not realizing that they were just as broke as anybody else on a higher level and faking it better than I did. I didn't know that my upline faked his diamond ship through volume manipulation. So when I went to him and said, how do I go diamond? I assumed he went diamond. My answer to your question is they are upline from you, and that's what they are. They are not gods. They are not immortal. You know what? It almost got to the point sometimes where I trusted them more than my own family. And that was a mistake.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. Absolutely. I also feel like they drive a stake on purpose to get you in between you and your family.
A lot of wedges driven.
Yeah. And so let's finish on a positive. What is a positive takeaway from your time in Amway?
$157 a month.
Spite checks.
you know what? I will tell you the most positive. I can answer the question unequivocally is the friendships that I built. The real friendships with my downline, not my upline, but my downline who I love, cared about. They love me, whatever. That I could pick up the phone right now and call so many of them and they'd be in a heartbeat. And we're not in Amway anymore, but the relationship wasn't based on Amway. The relationship was based on, we literally became friends. So my positive takeaway is I met some great people and 99% of them were not people that I personally sponsored. They were all down in depth that I never would have known otherwise. And then probably my attitude, like I think I have a great attitude. It's made me better at everything I do. And that's probably my positive takeaway.
I love that. I really appreciated this conversation. Most people are a lot more burned and they come and they talk about these things. And it's a very interesting perspective to talk to somebody who, like you said, admittedly, you had a good time and you didn't realize what it was and you were a little naive about it all. And just to hear your perspective, I think it is really helpful. Thank you.
And I think that even though my perspective is 20 years old, it's very much still going on today, probably worse.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Thank you so much, Steve.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast and my advocacy at The Real Roberta Blevins. You can find all of the links to the social accounts in our show notes. And if you just listened to that incredible story and you thought, oh my God, I have a story just like that that needs to be told, hit me up, therealrobertablevins@gmail.com. I would love to have you on the show to share your story and start your journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Hans.